Good morning. Welcome to St. James Westminster Anglican Church on this Sunday as we celebrate All Saints Day. And the early part of the liturgy today will be an opportunity for lighting of candles in memory of those who have gone before. It is always a special time to stop and remember people and think about what they have meant in our lives for all of us. Kind of a busy couple of weeks coming up. Next Sunday is Remembrance Sunday, and we will have a full act of remembrance as part of the liturgy, and you're all welcome to be part of that at 8:30 or 10:30. On the 20th of November, we've titled the liturgy that day. Well, let's make the correction. I've titled the liturgy that day, What Worship Would Look Like If Keith Got to Do What Keith Wanted to Do. And what I really want to do is, I've always tried to color outside the lines a little bit, and I'm going to color a long ways outside the lines just to show you some different things to make you stop and think about who we are, where we're going, how community around us has changed, all those kinds of things. So it will be lots of fun. It will be different. There is an intention, but I just hope that it brings joy and helps us to think a little bit. And there's something else afterwards the wardens can tell you all about that. One more thing down the road, on the 11th of December, our bishop, the Right Reverend Todd Townsend, will be with us for a visit with the parish, so I hope you'll mark that on your calendar and be there. I am immensely happy to welcome back a former rector this morning. Well, he's usually here all the time, but in a more formal role, Archdeacon Ken Anderson will be our preacher today. He has an All Saints sermon, and I got to hear it finally at 8:30. I think it's one that will make you think, which is wonderful. So it's great to have Ken with us, and I know that you're all eagerly awaiting an opportunity to hear your former rector, and many of you were here when Ken was here as well. So that's a great thing. As it is All Saints, I'm saddened to tell you that we lost a member of the parish this past week. Betty Pepler passed away on Friday. Her funeral will be on Monday at Westview Funeral Chapel because it didn't make the deadline for the obituary announcements. If you know Betty, and knew Betty, and have friends that knew her, if you want to attend the service, by all means, it's at 1 o'clock, and spread the word because it won't be in the paper. So if we could just help by spreading the news about that and keep Scott and all the family in your prayers.
Can you hear them as they pass by? Can you feel them standing just beside you? They are the ones who have gone before, saints who have touched our lives. They are the family to which we belong, ancient and never-ending. Our ancestors watch over us, their constant vigil keeping. Their wisdom surrounds us, their healing a river through channels of time. Can you hear them? They speak of a love they have seen, love beyond imagining, love that holds us safe until we rise to meet them.
Thank you.
give you thanks, O God, for all the saints who ever worshipped you, whether in arbors or cathedrals, wooden churches or cement meeting houses. We give you thanks, O God, for hands lifted in praise, manicured hands and hands stained with grease or soil, strong hands and hands gnarled with age, holy hands. We thank you, God, for hardworking saints, whether hard-hatted or aproned, blue-collared or three-piece suited. They left their mark for you, for us, for our children to come. Thank you for the sacrifices made by those who have gone before us. Bless the memories of your saints. May we learn how to walk wisely from their examples of faith, dedication, worship, and love. Amen. Gracious God, we come into this sacred space mindful of the generations of faith who have come before us. As we remember our loved ones today, whom we have already placed in your hands, continue to enfold them in the arms of your love, in the glorious company of the saints in light.
Elizabeth Webster, remembered by Sarah Mills. The Reverend Henry Redekop, Anna Redekop, Nikki Redekop, Clarence Redekop, Adeline Redekop Muller, Hugo Muller, remembered by Ernie Redekop. The Reverend Douglas Vogan and Mrs. June Vogan McPherson, remembered by Sandy Vogan. Roger Pullen, Ricky Chatterton, the late Queen Elizabeth II, remembered by Elizabeth King. John Shaw, remembered by Catherine Shaw. Wayne Douglas Patterson, remembered by Judy Mazalowski. David Daniel Clark, remembered by Brian Mazalowski. Five members of his family who have died in the war in Ukraine, remembered by Ross Mazalowski. Mavis Breckenridge, remembered by Janet Shaw. Gwen Boniface, remembered by Barb Giampa. Ken and Ethel Surrett, remembered by Debbie Vickers. Beryl Hearn, remembered by Christine Scott. Philip Robert Marin, Joseph William Palox, Martin Salter, Lois Mitchell, Michael Grogan, Ellie Eldridge, Vincent Foran, remembered by Jerry Adam. Members of St. James Westminster who have passed away this year, Sydney Brown, Jean Beasley, Jean Novak, Dorothy Panabaker, Susan Wilson, Fred Pinkham, Marian Ann Guacmai, Stella Woodhouse, Diana McFadden, Betty Hepler.
Let us pray. May these candles honor our grief and give thanks for the lives of our loved ones, those we have named out loud, those we remember in the quiet of our hearts. May these lights shine a way forward toward healing and peace in this place and beyond. In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Let's go there, raise high and glorious.
let us pray. Almighty God, whose people are knit together in one holy church, the mystical body of your Son, grant us grace to follow your blessed saints in lives of faith and commitment, and to know the inexpressible joys you have prepared for those who love you. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the reading of Scripture.
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Ephesians. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him, you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head of all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Congregation of the faithful, let Israel rejoice in his Maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their King. Sing to the Lord a new song.
Let them praise his name in let them sing praise to him with timbrel and harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people and adores the poor with victory. Let the faithful rejoice in triumph. Alleluia.
With you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you,
Jesus looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also, and from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you." The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Won't you please be seated? My dad, who was the assistant minister here at St. James Westminster some decades ago, installed in me a love of classical music. Now, I also thrive on good old-fashioned rock and roll, but I certainly got no coaching from Mom and Dad on that front. But thanks to Dad, I can sit now for hours at my desk, puttering away at my stamp collection, listening to a classical station from Toronto. And my favorite part of this is each morning listening to the request line, where someone would phone in and request a favorite piece of music, and we would hear a little blurb about the composer and hear the selection itself. Very frequently requested is a piece by the great Czech composer Antonín Dvořák in his New World Symphony. And it's a smaller part of that that's actually requested, the Largo movement called Going Home. Highly moving, most dramatic, exceptionally emotional, and it sends chills up my spine. Going Home was performed at the funeral for two American presidents, by the way. Is that good? There are lots of songs and sayings about what it means to be going home. Sentiments both secular and sacred. Where home is, what it's like, where it is. Oh, give me a home where the buffalo roam and the deer and the antelope play. Home is where the heart is. Home sweet home. I'll be home for... Is that well known? I've got a couple of geographers in my family, or else I wouldn't know the technical name for all of this. Geographers call that a sense of place. All referring, of course, to that place that is closest and nearest and dearest to us. The concept of home, this sense of place, has been immortalized by most of the leading singers of our time. From Shania Twain to John Denver, from Adele to Pavarotti, and of course going back much further to Dvorak. In 1969, the American astronaut Neil Armstrong was the first person to land on the moon. You know what he brought with him? He brought with him a tape recording of Dvorak's symphony with the music Going Home. The first music ever to be played in outer space. Well, the first music ever, if you're to exclude angels' harps and celestial choirs. So it's all too fitting that today, All Saints' Day, this most sacred day in the Christian calendar, we be not too earthbound. I invite you to look and imagine and celebrate
an eternal home, a home that God has graciously prepared for us, a heavenly home. So many images flash through my mind, one very recently. I suspect most of us caught at least little snippets of Queen Elizabeth's funeral in Westminster Abbey not 2 months ago. The Anglican Archbishop of Canterbury, in giving his memorial tribute, quoted from the great World War II song sung by Vera Lynn, "We'll meet again, don't know where, don't know when." It's a song about the fear of losing a loved one, a partner, a friend. And then the Archbishop jumped in with excitement. He says, "But we do know where we'll meet again. We know where Elizabeth's dwelling place will be. Her new home," he reminded us, "is now the heavenly Jerusalem. This woman, this faithful woman, this queen who read the Bible regularly, believed that God's love is so powerful that it absolutely shatters any power that death might hold over us." The Bible is full of imagery about what heaven might be like. Our words, our imagination can scarcely take it in. So just consider on a parallel track what astronomers must be thinking right now. 20 years ago, the Hubble telescope opened to us some new vistas of what the universe might look like. And then a mere 20 years later, the James Webb telescope comes along and with its extra high resolution, earlier imaginings of what the world looks like have just been blown right out of the water. Blown right out of the sky, if you want to be technical about it, but you know what I mean. We dare not pin things down too absolutely in either the scientific or the religious realm. For those of us who have lost a loved one, everyone here in church today, especially for those who have lit candles in memory of beloved lost ones, can only dare to dream of what eternity might look like, knowing that in our wildest imagination and our most eloquent words, we're going to fall hopelessly short. And we make a faint stab today. We dare to dream of a new Jerusalem, a heavenly city clad in gold and ensconced in jewels. Or more simply and humbly, that David psalm, "The Lord shall make me lie down in green pastures and lead me beside still waters," to the place that is just beyond the valley of the shadow of death, to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. These pictures heaven being like a tent in a windstorm protecting the inhabitants from that dust and wildness, like a wedding feast where the Lord is the host and the wine never runs dry. Always kind of like that one myself. Like a place of eternal light, like a place of peace where every tear will be wiped away and there is no more pain, no more sorrow, no more suffering, but life eternal. I remember a very elderly woman, Gladys Zimmerman, who was at church every Sunday for the 10 years where I was pastor here. She was blind. She wore sunglasses and thick goggles over her face, and a low blind and couldn't read a word of the prayer book or the hymn book, sang every note, every word of every verse of every hymn, because she had learned it all by heart. And she sang lustily. And I'll tell you, I could barely look over at that transept wing where she was always sitting without welling up at the profound depth of faith that this woman had. And when she was growing old and feeble, and well into her 90s, she shared an unusual thought with me. "Ken, when I die," she said, "I hope heaven is a place of darkness, because you see, the light hurts my eyes so profoundly that I don't think I could take that intense light for all of eternity. And I really hope that our loving Lord would provide for that too." We dare to imagine heaven being like the promised land, and is in so many African spirituals. The promised land is just on the other side of the River Jordan, where fear and discrimination and daily toil and, oh, just dreadful things that are happening to you can be put aside for all time. The roots of the lyrics to Dvorak's Going Home lie partly in those spirituals. And so it was one of his students who penned these words. "It's not far, just close by, through an open door, work all done, care laid by, going to fear no more. Mother's there expecting me, and father's waiting too. Lots of folks gathered there, all the friends I knew. Going home, going home, I'm just going home. It's not far, just close by, through an open door." We are in for a treat, let me tell you. In a moment, we're going to hear Going Home sung by the choir. But I want to end on this note. In my ministry as priest and pastor, I had the profound honor of taking nearly 500 funerals. At most of them, I read these words, full of hope and promise. "Blessed be the God who loves us, and I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor height nor things present nor things to come nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen.
invite you now to take a position for prayer. And let us still our bodies, open our hearts and our minds to pray. We pray for all the saints on earth, all those walking as friends of Jesus through the light and shadows of life, in grassy meadows and scaling bare rock, that we may all persevere with joy, supporting one another along the way. Not our will, Lord, but yours be done. We pray for all the kingdoms and nations of the earth, for their leaders, for their people, their policies, and their needs, that under God's overarching love they may learn His ways and His will. Not our will, Lord, but yours be done. We pray for those we love and care for, and those who love and pray for us, for the wisdom to learn from all we experience in this life, so that we are not damaged, but rather grow from the difficult times. Not our will, Lord, but yours be done. We pray for those who are suffering and those too weak to pray, especially remembering those who are unable to join us, Dan Lemansky, Peter Giampa, Sylvia Brightwell, David Buckridge, Marilyn Austin, Anna Woodson, Emerson Muir, Eunice Smith, Rick, Rita, Al McMillan, John Fryer, Carol Jones, Monica, and Deb. For all who are searching for life's meaning and those who find it hard to believe they are loved and cherished by the living God. Not our will, Lord, but yours be done. We pray for those who have died in faith, especially Betty Pepler. We pray that God will give her son Scott comfort in his grief. We give thanks for the shining lives of the saints and asking that with them we may come to share in the endless joy of heaven. Not our will, Lord, but yours be done. With thankfulness, we celebrate the transforming love of God, which can take us as we are and make us into what God can already see, what we could become. Accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
My dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast. God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites us to this table. So let us now confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. My friends, the peace of the Lord be always with you. As you wish, you may share a sign of Christ's peace among us. Thank you. Holy and mighty God, we give you thanks for the triumph of Christ in the lives of all his saints. Receive all we offer you this day and help us like them to run our course with faith, that we may come to your eternal kingdom. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. We give you thanks and praise, Almighty God, for the gift of a world full of wonder, and for our life which comes from you. By your power, you sustain the universe. Glory to you forever and ever. You created us to love you with all our hearts and to love each other as ourselves. But we rebel against you by the evil that we do. In Jesus, your Son, you bring healing to our world and gather us into one great family. Therefore, with all those who serve you on earth and in heaven, we praise your wonderful name as we sing. Gracious God, accept our praise through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who in the night he was handed over to suffering and death, took bread and gave you thanks, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body which is broken for you." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This is my blood which is shed for you. When you do this, you do it in memory of me." Remembering, therefore, his death and resurrection, we offer you this bread and this cup, giving thanks that you have made us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. We ask you to send your Holy Spirit upon the offering of your holy church. Gather into one all who share in these sacred mysteries, filling them with the Holy Spirit and confirming their faith in the truth, that together we may praise you and give your glory through your servant, Jesus Christ. All glory and honor are yours, Father and Son, with the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Church, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Lord, we died with you on the cross. Now we are raised to new life. We were buried in your tomb.
Now we share in your resurrection.
Live in us that we may live in you. are welcome to come forward during communion. Since the pandemic began, logistics have been difficult, and every week as more people come back and we have visitors that might not be comfortable or familiar with our routine, we try to do it the best way we can, but it's not an easy thing to get 150 people to the front to give communion to them. So we will do our best. One of the compounding factors is that well over 50% of people each Sunday are uncomfortable with receiving the chalice. I understand that. You don't have to receive both kinds. You can receive either the bread or the wine or both or neither. If you prefer, you can just come forward, cross your arms like this. We will give you a blessing. We do have a gluten-free option if that is what you need. If all of this sounds too confusing, you are entirely welcome to stay where you are and enjoy the music during communion. One of the things that we're going to do a little differently today, because this is the largest crowd we've had here since before the pandemic hit. It's even more than any of the Christmas services were, even more, I think, than the Easter service was. So after I give communion to the choir, there will be a second station for bread and bread only over there. So at the start, Jerry will be here doing bread. I will join later doing bread over there. Esther will be doing the wine from this station, and that's the only station where you can get the wine. So come to the one that works best for you and pray with me that all goes smoothly. These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Lord of hosts, we praise your glory reflected in your saints. May we who share at this table be filled with the joy of your eternal kingdom, for Jesus is Lord, now and forever. Amen. Glory to God,
whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen.
Just before the final blessing, a couple of thank yous. First to the Reverend Jerry Adam for putting together the All Saints candle lighting liturgy and getting all the logistics in place. That's a difficult task sometimes. Thank you, Jerry, for a great job. To the Venerable Ken Anderson, what do I say? One of the things that a lot of people don't know is clergy never get to hear other clergy preach. So even though I've known Ken for 20 years, I bet you this maybe the second or third time I've heard him preach. So an outstanding job. I know you're welcome back here. That welling up in the eyes thing happens all the time, I know. But thank you for challenging us with a wonderful image-filled homily. It's greatly appreciated. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us this day and remain with us forevermore. Amen.